Tested live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. So yesterday we were supposed to speak about Israel and Gaza, and we never got to it because we have run out of time. But we thought today to invite activist Israel Committee Against House Demolitions, Jeff Halper, who is coming straight from Israel, we believe, who's on the line with us this evening. A very good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm actually joined as well in studio by a guest presenter who is Dr. Tlaleng Mofokeng, does a lot of work with the UN, is a special rapporteur on the rights of everyone to the enjoyment and enjoyment and the higher attainment of standard and physical mental health. And,
very long title,
but has done a lot of work also in assessing what is happening in Gaza, in the West Bank, and other parts of the world. So I just want to make you aware, Jeff, that we do have a guest presenter in studio as well.
Sure. Great.
Jeff, we've obviously been watching what's happening in the West Bank. We've been watching what's happening in Gaza. You, at the moment, are in Israel. And in the past, I'd say maybe month, and that's not to say that's the total amount of time that this has been happening, but there has been an escalation in the occupation in the West Bank, an escalation also in occupation in other parts, moving closer to Palestine. Just your thoughts on what is happening at the moment.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what's happening at the moment. It's in terms of the bigger picture, and that is that, you know, Israel has been trying, you know, since 1948 and before, to basically what we call Judaize Palestine, to turn Palestine into Israel, an Arab country into a Jewish country. And, you know, it took all of, you know, what's today Israel, 78% of Palestine in 1948. It took the rest of Palestine in 1967. And then it's had a massive campaign of land expropriation, displacing the Palestinians and building settlements. There are today 750,000 Israeli settlers in the West Bank. And so Israel has really created, and you're familiar with this, an apartheid regime. In which Israel is today on about 90% of the land of the country, and the Palestinians are confined to 194 small enclaves on about 10% of the land of Palestine, even though they're the majority population today. And so where we are in terms of Gaza and the West Bank is kind of the last stages of nailing down this apartheid regime before we move on to what Biden is pushing, which is normalization with Saudi Arabia, with the Arab world, and in that way to legitimize Israel's apartheid regime forever. And so Gaza represents the last bastion of resistance to, you know, to the Israeli takeover, and as well as the West Bank. You know, you've had attacks in the Jenin and Tul Karm refugee camps with the same conventional military hardware that you have in Gaza. Artillery, fighter jets, special forces, drones, and so on. And so that's really where we are. This is the last quelling of any Palestinian resistance in order to pacify the population, confine them permanently to what you call a Bantustan on about 10% of the country, and then go on to normalization where the international community led by the United States and Europe, then it looks at this whole thing as legitimate and we have a new apartheid regime in the world. That's the big picture.
Yeah. Jeff, this is Dr. Tlaleng Mofokeng. You can call me Tlaleng, though. And of course, I have to declare that I am the current UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health. So the matters of Gaza have been, you know, on my radar even before October the 7th, but definitely with that escalation. And I think many of us have been quantifying this horror, you know, counting the 10 months plus 76 years of occupation. And I think you are spot on, you know, that these are the last stages. And I think what I want to hear from you is that are people in Israel able to appreciate that the actual occupation of more than 76 years now has actually laid the ground fertile for the apartheid that has now led to this current genocide. Is there an appreciation of that? As we know, media is controlled. So, you know, I'm using this opportunity to try get some first-hand on-the-ground analysis from the other side of the fence.
Well, I'm in a way the other side. I'm an Israeli Jew, living here in Jerusalem. Let me tell you that there is no appreciation, if you want to use that term, no understanding, no grasping of what's happening in Gaza and the West Bank on the part of the Israeli public for two reasons. First of all, they don't see it. All the destruction, the human tragedies, the stories, everything you see on your TV, you don't see in Israel. All that is, Israel is focused on two things, the media, the hostages. And so, you know, all the time you're talking to the hostage families or journalists who are embedded with the Israeli army, who are going in and telling us, look how great we're doing here. Look, we've killed 200 terrorists here. We've killed, you know, that's what they hear. The other thing is that everything here, I mean, there is no occupation. There is no Palestinian people from the Israeli point of view. There is no apartheid system, no settlement system. It's all like a normal country. That's the way Israelis see it. We're a normal, peaceful country who's being attacked by terrorists. So everything is reduced to security and terrorism. There is no political dimension. There's no historical dimension. For example, Israelis have no idea that 80% of the people in Gaza are refugees from what became Israel in 1948. There's nothing. They don't know anything like that. As a matter of fact, it's forbidden to teach about the Nakba in Israeli schools. So they're almost like tourists in their own country. They have no idea where they are, what they've done to the Palestinians, what they're doing today to the Palestinians. And so there is no political awareness or understanding or certainly sympathy even to the Palestinians who have all been reduced simply to terrorists.
So obviously a lot of talk in Israel from our perspective has been about the hostages since 7th October. All of us around the world can see that we don't really think it's about the hostages anymore, because if it was, we would be getting closer to negotiations and settlements and agreements that will bring the hostages back and then, you know, some sort of a ceasefire, which is not what we are seeing. Is the Israeli population still under the impression that this is only about the hostages? How safe is Netanyahu politically? Because I know this is a coalition government, but I also know that it's also quite right-wing. So just give me a sense from the ground, because we saw some protests, but the sense was that the protest was about the hostages. If it was about the hostages, are the people not asking themselves why it's taking so long to get to a ceasefire so that we can get the hostages back?
No, that's a reasonable question, but no. It has nothing to do with a ceasefire. We all know that the hostages could have come back months and months ago. That there were, even the agreement they're trying to negotiate today is the same agreement that was up about 4 months ago, 5 months ago. The army has said there is no more reason for Israel to be in Gaza. Months ago, we accomplished so-called our military objectives of breaking Hamas militarily. So that's the weird thing. The outrage in Israel, really the hundreds of thousands of people who go out in the streets, are outraged at Netanyahu personally. Because Netanyahu, there's a very weird disconnect. His whole military is against him. And mark my words, in the next week or two, he's going to fire the Minister of Defense, Gallant, because he's under trial in a couple cases. As the war dies down,
he may go.
There'll be new elections and he won't be elected. Yeah. And that's why he's perpetuating the war and keeping the hostages where they are.
And Jeff, what does global solidarity look like at the moment? And I say this as someone who is quite proximal, obviously, to the UN and has all of the different ways of speaking to the Secretary General and the President of the General Assembly, you know, the Security Council, which we have done. And, you know, myself and my colleagues have done so for months now. And I'm wondering, what else can we do? Because we've been screaming about the ceasefire. We warned about the famine. We've been warning about waterborne diseases. We've been warning about, you know, the actual killing as well of healthcare workers, which is not quite understood, you know, in terms of the same way that the press has been under attack as well. But Gaza has been completely obliterated. What do we do in terms of global solidarity in this moment? Because part of me, and I will tell you this, I identify myself as a survivor of apartheid, a childhood survivor, because I grew up in a small place called Qaqwa, which was segregated in South Africa's apartheid era. So I bring that politic and that reality to this role, but I'm often filled with rage, but also sometimes just helplessness. What do we do? How do we get together to support in this global solidarity, but ultimately an end to imperialism?
Well, let me just say two things really quickly. First of all, as long as there's no sanctions in Israel, it doesn't care. The ICJ can try it for genocide. The ICC can issue warrants for arrests that most countries aren't going, certainly in Europe and the U.S., aren't going to respect. In other words, the problem with international law, and this is the big disappointment, I think, for Palestinians, is that there's no enforcement. You know, the laws are wonderful. They're all in the books. All the institutions are in place and so on. But besides shaming, there's no teeth to them. And Israel knows that. So Israel's willing to be censured or whatever, Security Council, because it knows there'll never be sanctions because the U.S. and Europe won't allow it. That's one thing. Now, in terms of the global solidarity, I think that the Palestinian issue has risen to or even surpassed that of the anti-apartheid struggle. Mm. You know, this is a global issue. You know, look, Kamala Harris is today in Detroit trying to figure out what she's going to say to the people of Detroit about Gaza. So this is a tremendous issue. The problem is, and I'll say this honestly, because I'm a part of the One Democratic State campaign, which is a Palestinian-led group, and that is that the Palestinians, unlike the ANC, do not have an end game. Mm. We all knew why we were fighting apartheid, what the end game was. It was one person, one vote. Here, you know, some want two states. The PA is talking about two states. Others are talking about one state. Some talk about there is no consensus. Partly because the Palestinians are in a very difficult position of being unable even to meet and to formulate a coherent political plan. But without that plan, people can do BDS, they can boycott, they can campaign, they can lobby, they can come out for Palestinians, but they have to stop short of advocating for a political solution. That has to be led and articulated by Palestinians. And that, I think, is the missing piece today that's holding back the ability of the international community to really move ahead the Palestinian issue.
Jeff Halper, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. He's an activist and Israeli committee against house demolitions in Israel.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.